Thanks, Tim. Good morning. How is everybody? Before we jump in here, I want to share that I had a wonderful night's sleep. I don't know if it's just getting older or what it is, but I usually wake up about every hour and a half, 2 hours at night lately. I don't remember doing that when I was younger. But last night, I slept well, and I got up while I laid in bed. I woke up, and I was praying for many of you by name, and then I read this scripture verse that I want to share, 2 Thessalonians 1:3, New Living Translation. Dear brothers and sisters, we can't help but thank God for you because of your faith flourishing and your love for one another is growing. And that's how I think of you today and every day. As we pray today, as Tim was praying, I see our faith flourishing. We see answered prayer, and it's exciting. I don't know, I guess I'll jump back into the message. I really wanted to talk about faith, but today's message is be wise. We got to go along with the bulletin. Money management, be wise. You know, it's good for us to be wise. We should grab hold of that. Be wise. As a young boy, I wanted a metal detector. Did anybody want a metal detector? Anybody else? I wanted one. I didn't live near the beach. So I knew it wasn't really practical, because where do you go, you know, down the street? I never got one, but I always wanted one. Have you seen the commercial with the guy going across the beach, and then he goes over the guy's chest with a gold chain, and he takes the chain? Well, that's different. So in desperation, you can find treasures. But one of my favorite movies is The Count of Monte Cristo. Anybody else like that movie? That's a great movie. The best part is when he finds the treasure. It's huge. It's like bigger than any other movie treasure, I think. Take that back. There's some Raiders of the Lost Ark that have some really big treasure. But it was wonderful. And who doesn't love a treasure? Anybody? We should love treasure, but God's word is the treasure that we should love. His wisdom, we can grab hold of it for all different aspects of our life. Psalm 119, 162 says, I rejoice at your word like one who finds great spoil or great treasure. God's word is full of great treasure. And we need to grab hold of it and read about it and put it into practice in our lives. Like Tim read about the first section in Ephesians, what comes out to me is obedience and finding what pleases God. And we're going to grab hold of that. The next one is Malachi 3:10. I was telling myself, I don't want to put that one in today, but I had to. How can you skip that one when you're talking about being wise with money? God wants us to test him. And if you haven't tested him, then you're missing out. He says he will bless you if you test him in this. So be wise. Peter began this series about money management. And I think that sometimes we don't hear everything that he says. That other people, anytime when you're listening, you don't hear everything. So I'm going to repeat a few things. In fact, first I want to tell you a story about a kid. A mom was trying to teach her two kids about Jesus and the Easter story. And when she reached the part about Pilate and what he did with Jesus, the 6-year-old son said, Mom, do you think Pilate did the right thing? Well, that's a tough question. She said, No, I don't think, I think God used Jesus' death on the cross, but Pilate should have stood up there for Jesus. Well, I think he should have grabbed Jesus and ran to the plane and flown away to safety. Well, they didn't have planes back then, son. Duh, weren't you listening, Pilate? Jesus spoke a lot about money management, about money. In fact, out of the 30 parables, 19 of them deal with economic issues. There's thousands of Bible verses about money, finances, financial issues. We could we could preach not just these 2 weeks on finances, we could go for like 20 years. There's enough verses in there. The parable about the lost coin, the parable of the talents, the rich fool, there's many, many, many verses and stories about finances. Many times in the world around us, people are seeking wisdom about how to spend their finances, how to handle money. But they neglect God. They go to man's wisdom and they seek counsel away from God's wisdom. God created us. You would think that he would know how to handle money. That's nothing for God. He gives us much wisdom if we find it, if we seek after it. Now, Peter spoke about some of these things, and if you were listening, if you heard last week, then that's okay. It's a refresher. Number one, remember who the owner is. God is the owner. Psalm 24:1 says, "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it." Okay, did you hear that? What is God's? The whole world, everybody that lives in it. So everything that we possess, God owns it. Does that include us, our time, our energy, our belongings, our money? Yes, everything in it. I'm reminded of a story about a dear friend, co-pastor in Minneapolis. He had a daughter who was very ill. For years, she would suffer. In fact, there were many nights that she would cry through the night, and those that attended her would be crying as well. It was terrible. It was hard to even listen to this story, let alone have to live through it like he did. Sleepless nights for years. Finally, he heard a song that captured his heart and changed his perspective, his thinking. The song was called "Blessed Be Your Name." And it says in the song, "You give and take away." He grabbed hold of that idea. God gave him a daughter, and God can take her away. He was afraid that she was going to die. And for years, they suffered as a family, as a church body. It was very difficult. "You give and take away, my heart will choose to say, Lord, blessed be your name." It's a wonderful song. And it really captures the idea that God owns everything. You give and you can take away because it's yours. Not many of us really can grasp that perspective. But I think to be wise, we have to realize that what we have is God's. And then it's much easier to handle it wisely. Another story about a friend. I've shared this before. They were traveling and his car broke down. And they were short on funds. And he was frustrated and he told God, "Why now?" And then he realized, it's your money. If you want to give $500 to this mechanic, then that's okay with me. He realized that God can give and take away. He realized that he wanted to be wise, that if God wanted to bless somebody else with his money that day, then he should be okay with that. It's so hard for us to capture that perspective in life. Have you captured that perspective? Are you willing and ready to be wise? Does God own everything that you have? Or do you think that I'm going to protect it from others and I'm going to not let God see it? Well, he sees it and he knows what you have. Be wise. Know who the owner is. Number two, do not fall into debt. And if you do, try to get out of debt. Debt is a tough thing, you know, with so much going on around us. When you grab an advertisement out of the newspaper, do you look for, like, oh, what can I get, or what do I need? You don't need anything in there if you didn't know about it before you looked at the ad, right? They want us to think we need something. They want us to upgrade. Always buy more. Psalm 22:7, the poor are always ruled by the rich. So don't borrow and put yourself under the power, their power. NIV says it a little different. The rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is slave to the lender. Do you want to be a slave? Then get into debt. That's what God's word says. I don't think you want to be a slave. I sure don't want to be a slave. Many of us have loans for our homes. It's kind of a tough situation not to get into. But that doesn't mean we have to just prolong it or get into more debt. I encourage you to be wise, to try to get yourself out of debt, to be free from the bondage that can happen by borrowing. I read that if you had a loan, let's say you have a credit card debt of $7,500, 18% interest, you pay off the minimum. How long does it take you to pay it off? 30 years. Now you've paid more than triple what you borrowed. That should be enough to tell you not to borrow and stay in debt. Try to get out of debt. And if you want help, I would love to help you. Try to get out of debt. John 14:27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Peace is what you get. If you remove debt from your life, if you free yourself from that, you get peace. God wants to give us that peace that debt can take away. It can squeeze the peace and the freedom out of your life. So we have, know who the owner is, get out of debt, have a plan. Peter talked about a plan last week, the 10-10-80. Tithe 10%, save 10%, and then you have 80% to spend. 10-10-80. That's a good plan. If you don't have a different plan, use that one. I recommend that one. When my children were young, I had a goal for them to save up a certain amount of money. I tried to instill the idea of having a plan in their life. I don't think I'm really good at helping them, but hopefully as they get older, they grab hold of a plan. And I encourage you to do the same, to be wise. Obedience, we talked about in that first verse. If you have a plan, you can obey it. You can choose the plan and be wise. Proverbs 21:20. In the house of the wise are stores of choice food and oil, but a foolish man devours all he has. They don't have a plan. They have the 100 plan. Spend 100 and hope more comes in. Many people do not have a plan, and they live life check, paycheck to paycheck. That's not peace. That's not freedom. If you follow a good plan like this 10-10-80, God will bless you. Look at Malachi 3:10 again. Test me in this. If you give 10% to God, He promises to bless you. Knock your socks off. I want you to do that. I want testimony next year from somebody in here who tested God, who's willing to say, I will test you in this. He promises it. Don't be afraid. Grab hold of that freedom and that peace that God offers. Number four, enough. Declare enough. When you grab that ad for Kmart or whatever comes in the Saturday paper, don't glance through it and see what you need. What do you really need? You would know what your needs are. It's time to say enough. To not grab hold of what the world puts in front of you and say, I want more, I want better, I want new. Proverbs 30:15. The leech has two daughters. Give, give, they cry. Never enough. There's another verse, Proverbs 30:15-16. 16, it says, paraphrased, a forest fire never says, that's enough. I'm going to go out now. A fire burns and burns. And that's the way we can get with spending. We just go and spend, and we don't say, that's enough. I'm going back to my plan. It's a tough word sometimes to say enough, or no, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to try and get something that I don't need. God desires that we follow Him, and we have that mindset that we're content, that we have enough, and that we can follow this plan maybe, 10, 10, 80, save 10, give God 10, and keep 80. You know, if everything is God's, it's 100% His, He only asks for 10% back. And then He's going to bless you besides that. What kind of deal is that? It's a good financial deal. That's a really good deal. Who else would give you that kind of deal? Number five is two parts. Don't look around and look around. And what I mean is, don't look around to see what others have that maybe you should have, or their car is nicer, or their house is nicer, or whatever they have is nicer. Don't look around to compare. But look around to see the needy around us. We have needy, we have hungry, we even have homeless around us. Be able to look around and see the needs about you. And when you've saved 10%, you'll be able to help those around you. God desires that we help others. In fact, He says, whoever is kind to the poor lends to the Lord. If we help the poor, we're helping God indirectly. Number six, tithe and seek wise counsel. We talked about tithing in the 10-10-80 plan. Tithing is giving back to God 10% of 100% that He gave you. Be wise. Proverbs 11:14, for the lack of guidance, a nation fails. But victory is won through many advisors. Seek wise counsel. And if you can't find wise counsel, go to God's Word. Proverbs has verse after verse about wisdom. In fact, Proverbs 9:10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. If you don't remember anything else today, grab a verse like this one. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. As we get to understand God, and we grab hold of His wisdom, we're going to make good choices. We're going to be wise. And we're going to be blessed because of it. Another Proverbs, joyful is the person who finds wisdom. Or this one, choose my instruction rather than silver. God's word and His wisdom and His instruction is better than silver, better than gold, better than a treasure that the Count of Monte Cristo found. If he would have found a Bible, it would have been better. Hard for us to fathom that. Treasures pull our hearts. And where the heart is so important. God talks about that on and on. We need to direct our hearts to God and His wisdom, and not toward worldly treasure. There will be a final audit. Audit's a bad word around April 15. Nobody wants an audit. So good thing it's February. We are headed toward a final audit. God is going to say, you who have been given much, I expect much from you. Are you being wise? Do you have a plan? Are you giving God back a portion of what He's given you, what He's made you steward of? I encourage you to do that. I encourage you to be wise. And I encourage you to test Him. Test Him this year. And then come and tell me what blessings you've received because of testing God in tithing. Let's pray as the music team comes up. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank You for Your Word. I thank You for the wisdom and the instruction within Your Word. Lord, help us to be wise. Help us to remember that You've given us everything we have. You only ask back a portion. Father, help us to obey and to be blessed because of that obedience. Lord, I lift up this day. I thank You for the food that was prepared. Thank You for each person that offered that to us, Father, and prepared it. May You bless it to our bodies, and may our lives glorify You. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks, Eric.